Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I'll never forget the first time I was ever on an airplane. My wife and I had just been married, and we were traveling for our honeymoon. Honestly, I was rather anxious. I was looking forward to it because there's something about my mind that is intrigued by moving in three dimensions rather than just two, but I was nervous. And so what did I do? Well, we were sitting on the plane and we were waiting for takeoff, and you know, you can feel the plane sort of taxiing out to the runway, and next thing I knew, I had this white-knuckled grip on the seat, and I had my head back into the seat rest as far as I could push it. But in all honesty, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, think about it. Will the pilot have a smoother takeoff if I grip my armrest? Will it be any easier for the plane to lift itself off the ground if I push my head into the headrest? Honestly, I would have had a lot better of an experience if I just would have sat back, relaxed, and started trusting the pilots who, despite me being on the plane, already knew what they were doing. Right? Well, by the time we arrived to Exodus 14, Pharaoh and all of Egypt with him have endured the 10 plagues. Then and only then does God win Israel's freedom. Then and only then does Pharaoh let God's people go. And remember that by this time, Moses has already asked Pharaoh nicely 7 times. Let my people go! And yet Pharaoh's heart was consistently hardened. But after Pharaoh loses his son, he finally gets some sense knocked into him. Except the Israelites are not free and clear yet. Because what happens but Pharaoh yet again, as if, you know, this whole thing would be very predictable to begin with, Pharaoh hardens his heart one more time. He prepares his army. He sets himself to march out with the strongest of his forces and bring the Israelites back into enslavement. Meanwhile, some distance away, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back. Tell them to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea." Turn back? Are you serious? Like, we just escaped. You want us to go back? Yeah, you heard that right. God tells them to go back. But honestly, it doesn't make any sense to us, does it? For the people of Israel who have just escaped their enslavement to go back to an army that is coming towards them, where is the logic here? And honestly, it sort of confounds us. And yet we know exactly how this feels. We've been there too. One moment everything in life is continuing perfectly. We're moving forward. All seems to be going pretty well. All is right in the world. And the next thing you know, everything in life is falling apart. It only takes one unexpected change to bring down your future hopes and your dreams. And our reaction is mostly the same as the Israelites. What do you mean I can't keep going forward? What do you mean I have to go back? Why would God do this? And honestly, that points us to another big problem, right? It's a lot harder for us to understand that sometimes God is the cause of our problems. It wasn't Satan who told them to go back and camp near where the Egyptians were coming out. No, it was God. God led them into the problem. He is the one who told them to turn back. He is the one who leads them into a trap. Pharaoh's army on one side, death by drowning on the other. Choices. Choices. But God tells us why he does this, which is often the glimpse that we don't get into our own problems. But God says, "I will gain glory." God knows exactly what he's doing. He's guiding our lives in such a way that he gets glory. If he was guiding your life in such a way where you were supposed to get glory, then yeah, for your entire life, you would just keep moving forward. As far as all of your perceptions were considered, you would just keep going and life would just be great all the time. But it's not about your glory, and it's not about my glory. It's about God's glory. Can you imagine being those Israelites with Pharaoh's army coming down on top of them? In a moment where they have no place else to go, what's their only option? Death by army, death by drowning, or trust in God alone. We know the end of the story, so we know which is the far better option. And you know who else finds themselves in a very similar situation? Jesus. Jesus knows all about dead ends. During the last night before his crucifixion, he was led before Caiaphas, the high priest. Then he was led before Pilate, who then led him to Herod, who then sent him back to Pilate. Jesus is being passed around between all of these high-profile figures, and no one is ready to tell him that he is an innocent man who deserves no condemnation, at least not in the way to actually release the shackles from his hand. Christ's path then leads him to the soldiers who whipped him, who mocked him, who spit on him, who placed a crown of thorns on his head. And they were happy. They were delighted to see the blood pour from his body. Where does Jesus' path take him? A dead end. Calvary. A cross where Jesus breathed his last breath for you. Jesus knows all about dead ends. In fact, he was experiencing one of the best days of his life. He got to live and have the last Passover with his disciples, which he said he so longed to celebrate with them. And mere hours later, everything comes crashing down. And yet, in the midst of a dead end, in the midst of hardship, the Lord sends his messenger to speak. And so Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." And that's the same word that God has for you. If you want it in a much shorter and simpler explanation, start trusting. Stay calm. But yet what happens when we do make it through this life, when we continue through this life, we always ask our questions. Well, what if? What if my wife gets sick? What if I get in some sort of horrible car accident? What if one of my children, something happens to them and they don't come back from it, and our minds go on and on and on, and we go through all of these different scenarios and all of these what if situations? Well, God's word today is telling you to replace your what if with start trusting and stay calm. What happens next? Moses lifts his hand over the water, and the Red Sea parts. The Israelites go through on dry ground, and Pharaoh's army that follows while the sea comes crashing back down. Because the Lord fights for his people. Because the Lord hears the cries of his people. Because the Lord cares for his people. I'm sorry, no amount of gripping the armrest, no amount of shoving our head into the headrest is going to save us from the problems of this life. The only thing that we have to look, or the only certainty in this life anyway, is that problems will come up. When they do, the Lord tells us, trust and stay calm. That's it. But I think the most amazing part of this story is when it all happened. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. God saved his people when the morning appeared. And we know that as Jesus reached his dead end on Calvary, 3 days later, what time of day was it when Jesus came back to life? It was the morning of the third day. According to Lamentations 3, his mercies are new every morning. And what is the last name that the Bible gives to Jesus? The bright morning star. And the final testimony of Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The truth is that there are times in life when we feel stuck, trapped, pinned against a wall, when you're afraid that the relief may never come. And maybe it's even you today. Maybe you have some problem on your hands that just seems insurmountable and you wonder, when will I ever get out? Well, today Exodus 14 announces that your battle is not your battle. Your battle is God's battle. Your battle is Jesus' battle. And more importantly, God has never lost a battle. He didn't lose a battle to Pharaoh. He didn't lose a battle with sin, not with Satan, not with death, not with anything. There is nothing that can overcome God. And your victory is already promised. It's done. Jesus already did all of the hard work for you. And so what is your job now in the midst of your hardship? It's time to exercise your faith. Start trusting and stay calm. Because God always saves his people. The truth is, the plane's going to take off with or without your help. God has it all under control. So you can release the armrest, you can stop shoving your head into your seat, and you can relax. For Jesus has made a promise to you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.